coming in as Loeb. Milledyke center net. McDonald scores! Danny McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Logan Gordon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get this hour going. It is Monday, March 25th, with Logo. My name is Pat Steinberg. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. We have got a busy, busy hour for you. Later on this hour, Yoni Yermo, who signed Sunday. So now everybody who was part of the Elias Lindholm trade in late January, the two prospects, have signed. Hunter Brustevich a couple weeks ago, I guess it was last week, and Yoni Yermo have now signed. Yermo on Sunday signed a two-year deal at $850,000. He'll join the American League's Wranglers on a tryout agreement for the rest of the season. So Yoni Yermo is going to join us a little bit later on this hour, plus head coach of those Wranglers, the offensive juggernaut Calgary Wranglers, Trent Cull, will join us later on this hour as well. But right now, let's go inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. This hockey season, support local. Find your all-time classics and locally brewed beers. Visit your local Calgary Co-op wine, spirits, beer today. Logo, I want to talk about Rasmus Anderson as we kick off this hour, because it got me thinking as we saw the end of the telecast on Sportsnet on Sunday. Flames lose 4-1 to the Buffalo Sabres, and as the Flames were leaving the ice, you saw Rasmus Anderson kind of smash his stick going down the tunnel. He's a very frustrated player right now. There's no doubt. Rasmus's motor's always running. He is a guy who plays with a lot. Like, when he's on, he's an edgy guy. He's a competitive guy. He's an invested and engaged guy. And with the way things have gone over the last number of weeks, and the way the Flames have gone from being very much in the playoff equation to being completely out of the playoff equation, it's no doubt it's frustrating him and it's weighing on him. Logo, he'll be 28 in October. By the way, hi, Logo.
Hi, Pat.
He'll be 28 in October, which just blew my mind when I saw that today. But yeah, Rasmus turns 28 in October, has 2 years left on his contract after this season. So how do we see Rasmus Anderson fit with the Flames going forward? And fit's maybe the wrong word. How do we see Rasmus Anderson with the Flames going forward? We know what his fit is. We know the role he plays. But how do we see him as the Flames evolve? How does Anderson evolve with them? I'll tell you the way I see him.
Please.
I still think he has all the tools and all the ability to be a number one defenseman in the NHL, or pretty damn close to it. And maybe not the elite number one defenseman. Like, maybe we're not, like, I don't think we're talking about Cale Makar or Adam Fox or Miro Heiskanen. I don't think we're talking about maybe to that extent, but I think he can be pretty damn close to a bona fide number one NHL defenseman. And I thought this was going to be the season where he crested into that territory. I thought this was going to be the year that Rasmus Anderson league wide finally arrived. It hasn't happened. Like, I went into the season, I remember during the preseason and in the summertime talking with you or Wes or Vix, and just talking about how I think by the end of the year, Rasmus is going to be in the conversation for most people around the league of being one of the top 15, 20 defensemen in the NHL. It hasn't played out that way this year. His 5-on-5 game hasn't been where it needs to be and where I believe it can be. He's really struggled since the subtractions of Tanev and Hanifin. He's been taken off the number one power play unit. That has not been something he has excelled at this year. This has not been the year many have expected. But Logo, I still think the tools are there for Rasmus Anderson, and I think a good summer and a reset can get him back to that level next season. And I am so fascinated to see what he does with it. It's going to be a frustrating end of the year. And I think he's going to come to locker cleanout day at the end of the season and be very frustrated about the season that he had and very upset about the way that he performed. Just knowing Rasmus the way I've gotten to know him here since he's been a member of the Flames, he's very hard on himself. He has a high standard for the way that he wants himself to play, and I don't think that he has hit that standard. But that doesn't mean that I think he has been exposed for what he is, or that he's never going to reach certain height. I still think that there is a lot there, and I still think the lofty expectations I had for him coming into this season are attainable and can be attained even heading into next season. It's just going to take the right type of summer, the right type of mental reset, and the right approach coming into next year.
I still see Rasmus Anderson as a very, very important piece of this team going forward into the next couple of years, because not only is the talent on the ice, I think, undeniable for a 27-year-old smooth skating defenseman. He's a right shot, which we talk about ad nauseum when we talk about defensemen in the NHL, for good reason. It's a valuable asset that a lot of teams put a priority on. He fits that mold. He's a homegrown talent. He's a guy that you've drafted and developed into your system. But I think part of what you talked about there, Pat, too, is that frustration with losing and that self-accountability. To me, those are really important traits to maintain, even during a tough next couple of years that we could go through in a retool for the Calgary Flames. And at 27 years old, even to be 28, I don't look at him as out of the picture of being in the competitive window for this team. If anything, I think that there's still time to grow. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar's 30, right? And look at what he's able to do on a pretty regular basis, the kind of minutes that he's able to put up. So I don't think Rasmus is by any means aging himself out of the system. And I look at it from a pretty simple point of, if you got rid of a Rasmus Anderson, or you weren't to have Rasmus here for the long term, I think you'd immediately be looking for the guy to fill that role again, right? A guy that can play on your power play, that can play on your penalty kill. It's a good offensive puck moving defenseman. That's not to say he can't get better. Absolutely he can. Rasmus will be the first one to tell you, and I think you and me are on the same page with this, he struggled since the trade deadlines happened. I think with expectations, I think with the amount of minutes and the quality of minutes that he's been asked to play, I think at times those have caught up to him. And I think he's got to develop, a better way of handling those and a better way of adjusting to those type of minutes without Hanifin here, without Tanev here. They're asking him to do different things, and he's going to have to adjust to that. But I have every belief, knowing what we've seen from Rasmus in his time in Calgary and how he handles himself, that at 27 years old, he's still able to do those things. So, again, for me, I just go back to, I look at it and I think, as soon as a guy like that goes out the door, you're immediately looking for that guy again. And I don't see any reason why, unless Rasmus doesn't want to be here, and that's a conversation for a different day, as to why he wouldn't fit in with what you're doing in Calgary, especially given all the youngsters you have coming up.
Well, and one of the things that I think is important now is, I think if you're Craig Conroy, or maybe even more importantly, I think if you're Ryan Huska, and Huska and Rasmus go way back, I think if you're those guys, I think you've got a really cool opportunity to empower Rasmus Anderson and really get him to do something that I think made the career of one of his predecessors. I see Rasmus in a very similar situation to where Mark Giordano was with this team a little bit more than a decade ago. You know, Giordano was on a team that had Robin Regier and a team that had Jay Bouwmeester and Dion Phaneuf for a time, right? And then all of a sudden, pieces started getting subtracted. Dion got traded, Regier got traded, Bouwmeester got traded. And then Mark was the guy. And Mark was a veteran. He was around the same age as Rasmus is right now when all that stuff started to happen. And you know what Gio did? He leaned into it. He leaned into a team that at the time was rebuilding, was taking a big time step back in terms of their roster, and was trying to build for the future. And Mark Giordano leaned into that and said, okay, this is my team. They named him captain, and he embraced the situation he was in. He was embraced. All of a sudden, he was the team's number one defenseman, and he was the team's leader, and he was the guy being counted on in number one penalty killing minutes and power play time and the most important even strength minutes. And I think Rasmus has got the same opportunity to do a similar thing here. Guys have been subtracted. Team is retooling. if I'm the Flames, I'm going to him and saying, Rasmus, we see you as our pillar going forward on defense. Go to him with a contract extension. I mean, obviously you can't do that for more than a year's time. But like, if I'm Rasmus, I'm saying, yeah, you know what? I am going to lean into this leader. I'm going to be getting fed tons and tons of minutes. Sign back and be that guy. And it's not just a mindset thing. It's not just a, oh, well, I'm the guy, so that all of a sudden it's going to translate, because there are some keys and there are some things that he has to actively do to make sure that happens. But I just think he's got a really big opportunity here to step into an even larger role. And it's not just an on-ice role. It's kind of an organizational role. He's got an opportunity to fill a bit of a void here and be one of the guys. And yeah, they need to find more young defensemen. They need to find a core center iceman, all these types of things. But I still have a lot. He struggled this year by his standards. This has been a down year for Rasmus.
Well, he'll tell you that.
Yeah, he'd be the first to tell you that. And I think that there are a few things that you can point to as to why it's been a down year. But that doesn't mean next year and going forward have to continue that trend, because I think he's fully capable of making this just a down year and returning to the trajectory he was on prior to this season.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, in the sense that I don't think you can, at least right now, I can't see a future for this team without Rasmus Anderson being a big part of it. And I think that everything he brings to the table, again, if you're to go back to your point of Huska and Conroy, are you not looking at that and saying, that's what we want, that's what we need? And it's different for everybody. I get losing sucks. Rasmus hates losing. He doesn't like performing poorly. And I think that's a conversation you have to have with him in the summer. Very similar to the one about Jacob Markstrom, in a sense, Pat, about, you know, look, this might not look great on paper the next couple years to get where we want to go. But can we show you the vision of where we want this to go and where we want this to be in 2 or 3 years and how we see you as a part of it, and sell him on that? That, I think, is the key with Rasmus Anderson, because there's no doubt in my mind, looking at what the player is, what he's been through as a member of this guy, as a member of this team, as a drafted development guy, like I brought up before, that those are all attributes that you want on your team going forward, when this thing eventually and hopefully makes that turn towards being a contender again. So it's just the process of getting there, in my mind, and making sure that when Michael Backlund talked the other day, not the other day, I'm going to say a couple of weeks ago, when he said, I've had those conversations with Husk and Craig and I know what's going on. I think Rasmus Anderson needs to be brought into that circle. And I think when Ryan Huska talks about the leadership group, I think when Craig Conroy talks about the leadership group, I fully believe that Rasmus Anderson is one of those people, and it's one of the people that they value long-term here.
One of the few keys for me, and I'm with you 100% on that point, a few keys. He has got, and this is no disrespect to Miramanov, who's been a really nice story here, and has done a nice job as this team's power play one quarterback for the most part. But Rasmus Anderson should be the power play quarterback on the number one unit. He needs to get himself back to being that guy, because I thought he was moving in that direction and was clearly that guy going back to last season. And he started this season as that guy and then has kind of played himself off of power play one. He needs to get himself back to being the number one power play quarterback. That's no disrespect to Miramanov or to Uyghur, but he needs to be that guy. And I think he can be. I want to play you this clip from Dan Lambert, who joined us on Flames Talk postgame on Sunday following the 4-1 loss to Buffalo. Last two games, over the weekend, Rasmus Anderson had a bunch of shot attempts against Vancouver, had a bunch of shot attempts on Sunday against Buffalo. He scored one of the only goals against the Canucks as well. Felt like maybe he was taking more of a concerted approach, rather, of putting more pucks towards the net, which is something he has not done a very good job at this year, not done a good enough job of this year. And Derek asked Dan Lambert about that, and I just thought that Lambert's answer was really, really telling.
Rasmus has a great shot. Unfortunately, nobody knows it. You know, and it's like a guy that's an unbelievable skater, but he doesn't skate. And when you look around the league, all the top D-men in the league, you know, they have anywhere from 180 shots to two. I mean, I think Dahlin has 200 and almost 230. And I told Rasmus, I said, if you want to get more points, you got to start shooting the puck. And then I, you know, came up with all these guys that, you know, I coached, you know, Roman Josi, who he didn't care if there was a lane, he was shooting the puck. Yep. And he gets rewarded for it every year. And he's like, I know you're right. I got to start shooting. And I said, just so you know, it's not going to happen next game. We need to start doing it in practice. Mm-hmm. And that day, I think I struck a nerve a little bit because he was shooting pucks. And he has, and we, you know, we're trying to get him to three or four games or shots a night. Now, whether that's attempts or not, I mean, I think that's the bare minimum is what it should be, because he gets opportunities.
I just thought that was like a really, really well-framed and phrased way of saying it. This guy has got more offense than what he's shown this year. He's always been a pass-first guy. And he's always been a defer, even on the power play, he's been a defer guy. And that's not an easy, ask Jonathan Huberdeau how easy that is to, you know, change well into your NHL career. But I think for Rasmus Andersson to get to the point where he is back to being the type of guy that we thought he could be and we're thinking he could be coming into this season, you know, being more of an offensive factor and thus being back on power play one is going to be really, really important. Logo needs to grow into the pairing with Shillington. I think there's a lot of potential with those two guys playing together. And I think that maybe the thing to wrap it all up in a bow before you get last word on this is, I think he needs to want to be here. And if you're the Flames, I think you can do some things to kind of get that out of him, right? Like empower him, go to him and say, we want you to be here, and more than just because we think you're a good player, we want to make you one of the guys we're truly building around. We look at you as a pillar. We look at you as a guy who can help lead us into the era that we want to be in 3 or 4 years here. I think if you go, there's a really good chance you go and you kind of empower Rasmus with that type of stuff and you know, really, really sell to him how they see him. I think he's the type of guy that responds to that, takes it as a challenge, and tackles that challenge in a really, really productive way. And I think you could be talking about a really important core piece. Not like we haven't been talking about that before, but I think for some, this season has shaken the confidence a little bit. I think you get a lot of that confidence back.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to bring up, even just based on the last couple of weeks, as people have wondered where maybe Rasmus fits in all of this, right? Given how much the blue line has changed in the last couple of weeks and months with this team, everybody's being reevaluated and everybody is trying to figure out where they stand with the team. I go back to it time and time again. It hasn't been perfect with Rasmus by any stretch. I think there's still plenty of growing that he can do because he's got so much talent. If you're the Calgary Flames looking ahead to what the future holds, you need to find a way to keep that guy around. And you need to try to keep his talent around, and you need to try to keep his accountability around, and all of the sort of things that make him a competitive player and that have turned him into a really good NHLer. Because, again, while it hasn't been perfect at times, and no one is, I still think as soon as you lose a guy like Rasmus Andersson, you're dying to find another one.
Yep.
And it's not easy to find those kind of pieces. So do your best to make sure that that piece sticks around for a very long time.
That's our look inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Let's go local, Calgary. From best from the West, Canadian produce to quality only Alberta meats. Find your local at Calgary Co-op. Shop online or in store today.
Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
It's a Monday, which means it's time for the future of the Flames, brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech. fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how an idea originating in Calgary inspired hope for many, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. It's Steinberg along with you on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. And doubleheader on the future of the Flames. In just a little bit, we'll hear from Calgary Wranglers head coach Trent Cull after the Wranglers exploded for 8 goals in an 8-4 win over San Diego on Sunday. But before that, one of the newest members of the Flames organization just signed his first NHL contract on Sunday. Joni Jurmo, the Finnish defenseman acquired from the Vancouver Canucks in January's Elias Lindholm, signed with the Flames, a 2-year deal at $850,000 per year. It starts next season, and Joni is going to join the American League Wranglers for the rest of the season on a tryout agreement before his contract kicks in next year. He's in Finland, so an 8-hour time difference, so a little earlier on Monday, I caught up with Joni Jurmo. I'm telling you, this guy is excited to make his way over. He's excited to get to Calgary. He is fired up. And, yeah, you'll hear it in his voice. It's been a hectic last couple of days for Joni Jurmo, and that's where we started when I had a chance to chat with him earlier on Monday.
It's been pretty hectic, if I can say it. Yeah, it's been a lifetime dream of mine to sign an NHL contract and one day play in the NHL, hopefully. And yeah, it's been unreal. It's everything I've dreamed of since I started playing hockey.
So how come it's been so hectic? I mean, I have an idea, but can you kind of give us an idea as to how hectic it has been here over the last little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I woke up from a nap, got a text from my agent, and then the ball started rolling. So yeah, I signed the contract, and then I'm actually flying to Calgary in 12 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just packing my stuff and getting ready to leave.
So how, because your season in Finland comes to an end and then you sign a contract and then you're off on a plane and you're going to keep playing. How exciting is it to know that you're going to get an opportunity to keep playing some hockey here?
It's so nice. So nice. I love it. I want to do it immediately when they actually brought the idea up that I would be joining the Wranglers. And yeah, I don't like this time of the year, especially if you don't make the playoffs. You have to watch other teams play the playoffs and just have to practice on your own. So it's really nice that I get to join the Wranglers and practice and maybe even play there.
So that was something they brought up to you and you just were all over it. You just kind of jumped at that opportunity, said, yes, absolutely, let's do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So the whole idea of jumping on a plane in 24, 48 hours and going across an ocean, what goes into that? What do you got to get sorted? What do you got to figure out before you can get yourself over here?
I mean, the Flames, they've made it really easy for me. I just had to send my information to their guys, and they're pretty much working it out. And if I have any questions, I just ask them. And yeah, I don't yet know what I'm jumping into, but I've figured out that all the Canadian people, especially, they're super nice, and or at least all the Canadians I've met. So I don't think there's going to be a big of an exception there. So yeah, super excited, and I think this is going to be a great thing for me.
Can you take us back? I guess it'd be, you know, almost 2 months now when you got the news about the trade that you were going to move from the Canucks organization to the Flames organization. How did you find out that you were part of a pretty big trade?
It was a normal morning. I had practice, and I woke up. I just saw that my phone had blown up from messages and everything, and I thought first that I had like some kind of lucid dream or something, like what's happening. And then I look, like, there's Elias Lindholm and Kuzmenko. I'm like, these guys are like almost idols to me, and they're like great hockey players, and I think it's really cool, really cool to be part of that trade. So yeah, I'm super excited about it.
I know that Hunter, who was the other player in the trade, the other prospect, he was kind of the same way. It's like, it's kind of cool to be a part of a really big trade. How neat is it to know that, you know, you were part of one of the biggest trades of the season this year in the NHL?
Yeah, I mean, super cool. Super cool. I think, yeah, like you said, it's one of the biggest trades this season. And yeah, like I said, I think it's really cool to be part of it and join the Flames. And yeah.
We are chatting with Joni Yermo, who is on his way to Calgary here shortly. He's just signed a 2-year contract with the Flames on an entry level deal. So what do you know about Calgary? What do you know about the Flames organization, Joni?
Actually, not too much, if I'm being honest. I know it's a big hockey city, as in Canada, and actually my head coach I had for the last 2 years, Olli Jokinen, he played for Calgary. So I think I'm going to give him a call and ask him some things to do in Calgary or something like that. So that's pretty cool.
So tell us about Olli, because he was part of a blockbuster trade with the Flames about 15 years ago himself, and he was a really popular guy out here. Tell us about Olli Jokinen, the coach, and playing for him for a couple of years.
Yeah, he's the best coach I've had. He's seen so much world. He knows so much, like from a player's perspective, about the game of hockey. And yeah, I like him a lot. He's a really good coach, and I think he's gonna be an NHL coach one day because he's a really good coach, I think.
Did you ever watch him play? Like, was he one of those guys that, you know, growing up you watched and got to see a lot of when he was in the NHL?
Yeah. Obviously, I've been following the NHL my whole life, and Olli is a pretty iconic person and hockey player in Finland. I think a lot of people know him, so I think it's super cool that I got to play under him for a couple of years.
So you've been a huge hockey fan clearly your whole life. Who are some of the guys that growing up in Finland for you, who were some of the big names for you? Who were some of the guys that you really looked up to and wanted to try to emulate?
I mean, the first one is probably Teemu Selänne, which he's a legend in Finland. He's like the greatest hockey player, Finnish hockey player of all time. So him, and he's also from the same hometown as I am. So that's pretty cool. And nowadays, or then a couple of years after that, I started watching, I think, Erik Karlsson. He brought some new things to the defensive game, I think, to the NHL. And then nowadays, I like to watch Miro Heiskanen, and he's from the same city as I am, and I train with him in the summer, so that's pretty cool to get to see him up close.
Can you talk a little bit about how big a deal hockey is in your hometown, and how, you talk a couple guys, Selänne and Heiskanen, both from your hometown. How big a deal is hockey where you're from?
It's huge. I think ice hockey is the biggest sport in Finland right now. Like, for example, if Finland wins the world championships, this country goes nuts. Like, there's people on the streets, and it's like packed with people, and everyone's celebrating it, and everyone's like living it together and watching the games. And yeah, I think ice hockey in Finland is a huge deal.
Well, only a couple more questions for you, Joni, then you can continue packing and get yourself over here to Calgary. But describe yourself as a player, if you can. Like, if you were to be asked what type of defenseman you are, how would you describe it?
I think I'm a two-way defenseman. I'm good at both ends, and I think my skating is my biggest asset. And when you combine that with my size and reach, I think that's a pretty good combination. And yeah, I like to play physical when there's a spot. And I also think that my stick handling and shot is pretty good in the offensive zone, which I've been working on a lot. So yeah, that's pretty much it. But I still have some holes in my game, which I have to improve on.
you take a look, you talk about the physicality, and you take a look at your size. Like you're a big frame. How do you think that that's going to translate, and your game is going to translate over to the North American ice? Are you feeling pretty good about that?
Yeah, I mean, size is an advantage if you can use it properly, especially in the NHL. Like, size as a defenseman, I think it's a huge asset, and I think, like, I need to get stronger still, and I think when I reach my full potential, I think I'm going to be a really good NHLer one day.
And you've been playing in the top league in Finland for the last number of years. You've been playing against men for the last number of years. Just how is that really factored into your development and made you that much more ready to just kind of jump into things like you're going to hear later this week?
I think it's huge. I think it's really good, like, the Finnish league play here against grown-up men who are, like, at least as strong. A lot of them are stronger than me, and I have to battle every night against them. And then also living alone, living the pro life, as you can say, like, I think that's a huge thing that I get to kind of practice that before coming over.
And I got to ask you about your World Junior experience a couple of years ago. You've represented Finland a couple of times, but that was kind of the biggest stage a few years ago. How do you look back on that opportunity playing with Finland at the World Junior Hockey Championships?
Yeah, it was an unbelievable experience playing in Edmonton and making it that far. I don't know if people remember what happened in the final game in overtime, but that's not something I like to remember with too much warmth or passion. But yeah, I think that was a really successful tournament by me, and I think I really showed there that I can compete against, like, my age best players in the world, for example, against Canada and like that. And yeah, we had a really good group of guys, and I think we were good.
And now you're coming back to Alberta. You're used to being here in the wintertime. You're kind of used to being here when there's snow on the ground. I think you're going to get here and there's going to be a little snow. Are you ready for that? Like, what's the weather like back home?
Oh yeah, I think the weather is even worse here. So
okay.
I think it's much more sunnier, hopefully, in Calgary. I don't know, because in Finland the sun goes up at like 9 a.m. and then it goes down at like 3 p.m. So it's pretty depressing, as you can maybe say here. But yeah, I think the weather is kind of the same in Calgary as it is in Finland right now. So
okay.
No worries in that.
So then, yeah, it'll be good. And yeah, lots of sun here. So are you nervous? Are you excited? Like, you said you're about 12 hours away from a big time step in your hockey career. What's going through your mind right now?
I think it's a good mixture of both, and then you add a little bit of confidence to that, because I didn't sign an NHL contract for nothing. I think they saw something in me, and I believe in my skill set and everything. But if I have to describe how I feel right now, it's mostly excited and also a little bit of nervous, but in a good way, because I'm nervous of what's going to happen for me in the next 2 years. So it's cool.
Well, good luck, Kay. It seems like you are really excited and really ready for this next step. We'll see you over here in Calgary in the next couple of days. Looking forward to seeing you practice and maybe get into some games with the Wranglers. Congratulations on the contract, Yoni, and thanks so much for doing this today, hey?
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So that is Yoni Yermo, signed a contract with the Flames on Sunday. Can tell he's just really grateful and really excited for this next step. His season in the Finnish top league is done, and he'll now make his way over to Calgary and to North America on Tuesday, get some practices in and maybe some games in with the Calgary Wranglers. So now both players from the Lindholm trade, or both prospects from the Lindholm trade, are signed. Brestevich and Yermo, and both going to be here in North America for the next little bit as well. 6'5", there's I'm really curious about this player as well. And after talking to him, I'm just really interested to see how this story plays out. I had a chance to chat with him a little earlier on Monday because we're talking right now. It's like almost 2 a.m. in Finland. It's Steinberg along with you. This is the future of the Flames. We go from Joni Jurmo right to the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers as Trent Cull joins us as he always does on Mondays on the future of the Flames. And Wranglers, since the last time we talked to you, Coach, you're 2-0-2. You've got points in 4 straight games, Bakersfield, Ontario, and then Sunday night, an 8-4 win over the San Diego Gulls. I guess I'm just curious how you would evaluate the last week for your group as you return home for 2 more this week.
It's been good, you know. I think that we have kind of just found a bit of our niche with our group right now, just how we have to grind, how we have to check, you know, and just keep low scoring games. I think that's been kind of, I think we talked about just a week ago, and we talked about, hey, we got to start winning some games 1-0. And, you know, for the most part, we've only scored, you know, 1 or 2 goals in all our games. And all of a sudden last night, the dam broke free. So, but, yeah. But no, it's been going pretty good. And I think that, you know, obviously they've had a couple losses in there too, or overtime or shootout, but I like the way we've overall played.
The offensive explosion last night had to be nice to see, though. Like, as a coach who's been used to playing in these down to the wire one goal games into the third period, to see your group explode for 8, that had to be a nice night for you on a Sunday, hey?
It was. I mean, our power play struggled to start the game, and we had quite a few power plays in the first, so I was worried. You're always worried. The other team is they're still a dangerous team. They can score, and I knew that they're a bit like some, I guess you'd say, almost like a little bit of gamblers, and we know that they got one on the shorthanded, then they get a power play goal. It's 2-2 after one, and you know, that's not where you want to be after having a few power plays. So, but I thought we stayed with it solid in the second. And then all of a sudden, like you said, like 5 minutes left in the second, all of a sudden we get one, and then we get another one a minute later and another one a minute later. So it was nice to see us. And then after that, to hold on to it and stay strong through the third.
It's funny, Trent, because, you know, we're at the Saddle Dome watching that Flames game between the Flames and Sabres, and I'm keeping the video up with your group and watching. I every time I turn over, there's another goal, and I thought to myself, man, like with how many close games and how many low scoring games your group has been in here over the last number of weeks, to have a night like that for some of the guys on the team, just from a confidence standpoint, that must have been something huge for them as well. What can a night like that do, just to, you know, kind of even remind the guys that, hey, you know, there's still some offense on this team, and you know, this group does have the capability of scoring.
Yeah, we do. And you know what, it's, you know, and I've been preaching at them pretty hard about playing the right way and good habits, and they've been doing it, and it's been successful. But it's also nice for them to know and have the confidence in themselves, and hey, we can score some goals, you know, we can be an offensive group too. And even if we get down, I think that's something else too, that to know that, hey, we can find a way to scratch and claw our way back here too. But individually, it was awesome. Solo got a couple. Mitch McLean ends up having a hat trick. He could even have had more there almost, yeah, still in the second period. So it was really good. I thought it was a good night for our group to grow some confidence and feel good about themselves. And we're certainly going to need that. We're in the middle of a lot of games here in a short amount of days, and then we've got the best team in our division waiting for us at home today.
Yeah. Yeah. Coachella Valley Tuesday, Wednesday at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. We're chatting with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, joins us Mondays here on Flames Talk. You know, last week when we spoke, Trent, you know, we were talking about what getting Jacob Pelche onto the group might do, and how Jacob might be able to give your group a little bit of a boost. Well, now you've had him for 4 games, and he didn't have any points in his first 2, but kind of seemed to really get back into his comfort level over the weekend. Tell us about having Jacob back with the group here over the last 4 games.
Well, it's good. You know, I mean, it's great. It's great for our group because you bring a guy into your team who's a bona fide American Hockey League player, if not more, you know what I mean? And then I think, just like you said, you know, it takes him a couple games to probably get back up and running. I mean, I'm playing him quite a few minutes down here, penalty kill, power play, kind of, let's say, top line minutes. And so, you know, it takes a little bit. He hasn't been quite playing those minutes in a while. And so, and here's a guy too that has been off all year again, right? So now all of a sudden you're asking a guy who probably hasn't played over 15 minutes this season to come in here and start doing it every night with travel. And so we got his feet wet after a couple of games. I think we're starting to see the right Jacob Pelletier, the guy that I used to coach against a few years ago too. So he's dangerous, but he's really good to make some great puck decisions. But also, like, he makes players around him better because he sees the ice well. He tries, and he has a good shot. He's not afraid to shoot, but he can also make some nice plays and distribute the puck as well.
What's the adjustment like when, especially for Jacob, who has kind of had the stunted season and he lost half a year, starts playing with you guys, joins the Flames, now back with the Wranglers. But what's the adjustment like for a player coming back down and jumping right back into game action like he did?
I think it stinks. Like, I think it, like, for them, because they're like, they want to play in the National Hockey League, just being honest, you know? And so they're upset. They're mad. They're maybe sometimes like a little embarrassed. You know what I mean? Like, they want to be, here's a guy who's had some really good years in the American League. And you know what? He comes into camp, I'm sure he's in great shape and started well. And, you know, wants to make the Flames get hurt. You know, it feels frustrated. But it's not easy, whether it's, you know, Poirier coming back in, or whether it's Peltz coming back in, or Rooney, these guys come back. When you miss all that time and have to come back into either the NHL season or American League season when it's 5 months in, it's not an easy adjustment, right? Yep. So, and that's where I think that, you know what, he wasn't playing the minutes. It's great if, you know, the Flames decide, hey, we got to get this guy up and running. We don't want to, you know, miss time with him. And I think it's been good. And hopefully now where Peltz is at, he's a great kid. He's a great teammate. So the guys love having him around, and they love him, you know, having success and being part of it. And he's a huge part of it right now because our team needed a shot in the arm. And I think he knows that he's brought that. And I think it's just been a great relationship, and hopefully he can kind of keep growing from there and get himself back to where he wants to be, which we all know is playing for the Flames. And any way we can help him do that is what we're here to do.
I know that when Pelche returned last week, he was, put right onto that line with newcomer Sam Morton, who you basically put right in as one of your top centers. How we talked about Sam last week as well. How has he started to fit in with the group?
Yeah, he's good. You know, he's a reliable hockey player, but I'm starting to see, you know what I mean? But he's got a great shot. He sees the ice well for a kid coming out of college. I mean, man, it's been a big adjustment for him, but I think he's done really well. And, you know, I think it's been, I was trying to find the right magic with those guys. And a couple of games ago, I moved Cole Schwint up to right wing, actually, to play with those two. And, you know, Cole's a big guy who skates well, and he makes good plays as well. And I just wanted a different perspective. And actually, earlier on in the year, you're in Colorado just before Christmas, and Cole played on the wing with Sutter and Huntsie, and they had a great back-to-back games. I was like, man, he looked great, you know. And so just trying to, I guess, kind of look at different things or trying to find different combinations that work. And I think those guys the last couple of games have been really good together.
Trent, you mentioned Ilya Solovyov and the couple of goals he scored Sunday against San Diego. But, you know, taking those two goals out of it, you know, you were without him for about a month there. He's been back now for six games. How important has Solovyov been back on your blue line, regardless of the two goals last night?
Yeah, you know, first of all, he came back way ahead of schedule, you know, worked really hard. So good for the kid, you know, he wants to play hockey for us. And so, and then he's come back and he's been just a breath of fresh air. Like, his quiet puck movement for us has been really good, and he's been really solid. And where he finds he moves pucks to the middle of the ice, which is sometimes dangerous, but nowadays in hockey, that's a lot of times how you got to break the puck out. So, and then on the other side of that is just defending. He's a big guy. He's a strong guy. He defends hard, and it's not easy for other teams, good players playing against them. And I think he's been just a blessing for us to come back there. Again, we needed a bit of a shot in the arm on the back end, but his puck movement and his defending has been really good since he's returned.
The last player I wanted to ask you about is a guy that, you know, you won't really have much of a book on, but, you know, it's another addition to the group. We spoke with Joni Jurmo over in Finland earlier on this Monday, and he's going to come join the Wranglers later on this week. He's a big, solid defenseman, and, you know, another guy that you can try to get up to speed and see what he's all about. Just it's another player that you can just kind of add to the group, which I would imagine for you, coach, is a nice thing to have at this time of year, because there's been a lot of subtractions throughout the year. Seems like over the last little bit there's been more additions for your team.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's been welcome. I mean, we've been struggling to ice a lineup some of these nights here over the last couple of months. So
yeah,
it's nice to have some depth. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't know a ton about Yanni. Like, I think that we're excited, obviously, to have him, but we're going to get him in here, you know, get him up to some practice time and see it. The great thing is he's going to get here when we're kind of get done this heavy stretch that we're in. And then we got a little bit more practice time to start off in April. And, you know, hopefully everything goes right the right way. We can squeeze ourselves into playoffs. So it's nice to have him come and join the group. And it'll be awesome to see him get in some practices there in April and see kind of where he fits. And that'll be a decision for the organization and development crew as well. You know, all hands on deck in the sense, hey, does it make sense for this guy to get in some games? And how does it look? And what are our thoughts? And collaborate on that for sure.
A couple more with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. You mentioned that you are in an insane stretch right now of games with travel and next to no rest time. And, you know, it continues this week. You've got a busy schedule at home, and then it kind of eases off, as you mentioned, into April. It's kind of one of those situations where just survive this and you know, do as best you can, and then you get a little bit more time to practice and get some rest as you move towards the end of the season.
Yeah, but we're here to win games. We're here to get some points. You know what I mean? This is the time of the year. And, you know, through all the adversity things or different stretches that you have, like I said, I think it's been good for us the last few weeks. Like, we played at home against Ontario there a couple weeks ago, and we were too loose and we were giving up too much. And we had to knuckle down to get back to, we call it our Wrangler hockey, and we have a recipe that we think is successful for us. And it's no denying it. It's a grinding game. We have to be hard on the opposition. We have to check, and we have to check some more, and then we have to check some more. So, I mean, that's got to be our game. And hopefully our specialty teams can win the battle every night. But that's the kind of the mindset we got to have. But we're here to keep getting better and to keep, you know, pushing. Like, we want to get the playoffs. I think it's a great – we want to, you know, get ourselves – all the focus is sometimes is getting yourself an opportunity to play in playoffs, and then see where that goes from there, right? So that's the best thing. That's the next goal on the horizon, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, and how difficult is this challenge going to be for you Tuesday, Wednesday against Coachella Valley?
Yeah, that's a good hockey team. They got a lot of players back right now for whatever reason through Seattle, whether it's health, et cetera, right now, and they're playing really well. They're firing all cylinders. I think they're on a 10-0-0-2 streak right now. So we're going to have our hands full, that's for sure. And even with the little travel and stuff that we're facing right now, but that's the American hockey. They go through these stretches, right? So hopefully we can get our best foot forward here on Tuesday and kind of go from there.
Trent, appreciate the time, my friend. Thank you so much for doing this. I know you got a flight to catch to get back to Calgary. So fly safe and good luck this week. We'll talk to you next week. Hey.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers, joins us Mondays on the future of the Flames. And this Monday, a little double shot. We also heard from Yoni Yermo, just signed on Sunday as a member of the Flames as well. And that is the future of the Flames on this Monday, brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech, fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how they intend to empower cancer patients, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. As we start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk, Shan and Cam are outstanding producers. Logan's on Twitter at Fan960Logan. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that wraps up this hour, which has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.